I want you to look tonight in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. And just given the time of year that we're in, I like to go, and it's always a blessing to go and go back over some things that we already know. But even though these are common truths to us, they are the greatest truths in all the world. And I just love this time of year. I love Christmas time. I mean, I know some people don't celebrate it and whatever, and they can help themselves. Amen. If their standard's higher than mine, praise God for it. But I love Christmas. Amen. Praise God for it. And that's kind of like I heard a preacher say one time, you know, he said, you know, some of these preachers, they preach against women and makeup and all that. And he said, and I feel sorry for them. He said, there's balance in everything. Isn't that right? But I feel sorry for these folks that's against everything. Amen. You got to be for some stuff. Praise God. Yeah. Yes, right. Who else going to wear them? That's right. Praise God. Amen. I mean, I don't think you ought to be able to see it from space, but amen. It helps a little bit. Amen. So, anyways, I do. I like Christmas, and I like this time of year, and I like the fact that we're going through John during this time of year, and I like that it's kind of already got me anyways in this frame of mind, and kind of with all that's going on and what we're celebrating, and it's a blessing. And so I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read probably one of the most read, or at least a portion of the most read chapters in all the Bible. This chapter, Matthew 1, and Genesis chapter 1 are probably two of the most read chapters in all the Bible, because everybody starts out and they read them the first day of the year every year. And then that's the only Bible they read for the rest of the year, right? But they at least get these. And so I want to read a little bit of it and give you kind of what the Lord's got on my heart tonight. Matthew chapter 1, look with me in verse number 18. We'll put in about there. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And I want to just give you a few thoughts tonight on just maybe reminding us a few things on regarding the focus of Christmas. The focus of Christmas. And I know we know what Christmas is all about, but it's good to kind of go back through and make sure we stay focused. Isn't that right? And I love Matthew chapter 1. I always love, really, honestly, every time we come this year, obviously there's a lot. We always go back and we read and we hear preached kind of these verses dealing with the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, anytime, especially if I'm alone and I'm reading these verses and it's just me alone in a quiet place with the Lord, and I read through these verses about the Lord being born, about his birth and it being of the Holy Ghost. I mean, just all the details that the Bible goes into. It's hard for me to read these verses without really getting stirred. I mean, just really getting stirred and tearing up and just being so thankful for all that Jesus did. Because these are the most wonderful things and the most exciting things, in my opinion, in all the Bible. I mean, I just love reading about the Lord's birth, him coming. Because you think about it, you start
thinking, you start connecting back to the Old Testament, all the prophecy that was fulfilled, and the state of humanity at this time, and how Jesus burst on the scene. And I mean, it's just so exciting. And Matthew 1 has got to be one of the most exciting chapters in all the Bible. I want to show you something here, and I've probably showed you this before, but I want you to turn back just a few pages to your left. And just keep on going back. You may have a few pages in the middle, but just get on back until you get to Malachi chapter 4, the very last book in the Bible, very last chapter in the Bible. Now look at the very last verse in the Bible is verse 6, Malachi 4, verse 6. Now look at the very last word. I keep saying the Bible, but in the Old Testament. Last word of the Old Testament is the word. What is that word? It is the word curse. And that is how the Old Testament closes out. It closes out in a curse. Man is under a curse. Humanity is cursed. And it closes with that word. I mean, there's nothing exciting. Oh, no, it's cold and it's dead and it's dark and things are bleak and it feels hopeless and empty. And then after that curse that the Old Testament closes out with, 400 years go by where man does not hear from God. There is a gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament of about 400 years where there's no revelation from God. No books of the Bible were written. As far as we know, nothing major happened. They call it the 400 silent years. And so 400, you think about all those generations that went by, and all they've got is the Old Testament. All they got is the promises that God made about a Savior coming and saving the world, saving man from his sin, all these things, and time is going by. And you think about, you know, the state of humanity in that period, the generations that go by, one generation after another, and the promise hasn't been fulfilled. And you think about how hopeless man is probably getting, and religion is no different from today. Man's no different from today, so religion is decaying. That's, by the way, that's the tendency of religion, is to decay. Listen, religion doesn't get better, it gets worse. Matter of fact, when you look at the state of religion, the state of Judaism, when Jesus does come on the scene, oh, it's a bleak affair. Amen. I mean, it's a mess. And so all this time goes by, but yet in Matthew chapter 1, soon as you turn over to the New Testament, it is as if God almost bursts onto the scene. After 400 silent years that have closed, that began with a curse and closed out with a curse, now suddenly out of nowhere, when man is unsuspecting, going about his life, God bursts on the scene. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, it's as if all at once prophecies written many years before are now being fulfilled. Angels, God's messengers are appearing to men, and the Holy Ghost has overshadowed a young virgin. She's now with child. Wise men have come from the east after seeing his star. And I believe that star was supernatural, don't you? I believe it was a star they'd never seen before. And I think it was never there before, and I believe it's never been there again since. Amen. And I believe it was a supernatural thing, and they followed that. So, I mean, just think about all that is happening. It's just an amazing thing. Now here, Herod, I mean, the ruler of the nation, the king of the nation, him and all of Jerusalem are shaken to the foundation, and a heavenly host appears to these shepherds, and they're singing praises unto God. I mean, all this is happening all at one time. It's amazing. Look over in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to show you Luke chapter 2. And look in verse number 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. I tell you, we find the world lost and hopeless and abiding under that curse when Christ out of nowhere makes His grand entry. What an exciting time to be alive. Amen. I mean, angels are coming to them and they're taught. That's never happened to me. And you think about Herod up there in his palace, and you think about all the governors, and yet God bypassed all of them and He went down to shepherds, lowly, blue-collared shepherds. Amen. And talked to them and told them where Jesus was, and they made haste and they went and saw Him and went and found Him. And I tell you, what an exciting time, what an exciting thing to think about Jesus coming for us. And I remarked on this the other day. We talk a lot about the humility and how Jesus, you know, humbled Himself and took upon Him the form of a servant, and how He subjected Himself to the worst, really, that humanity could throw at Him, with those soldiers putting Him on the cross and all that. But man, think about the fact that He left the portals of glory and the humility involved in the God of creation, humbling Himself to put Himself in the hands of a mother to be taken care of as a baby, right? I mean, what's more humble than that? I mean, she's changing His diapers. This is the God of heaven now, right? And I know there's a lot of humility at Calvary, but man, there's a lot of humility in Him being wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, because, I mean, this is the God of heaven, yet there's no room for Him in the end. Man hasn't got time for Him. Man hasn't got place for Him. And yet He humbled Himself in that fact for you and for me, and let His diapers be changed, amen, and let Himself be taken care of by His own creation. Oh, what a God. Amen. What a God. Hallelujah. Isn't it exciting? Especially when you get down and get refocused to the real focus of Christmas. Yeah, I think if we're not careful, listen, seasonal depression's a real thing. It's this time of year, and nearly every pastor will tell you that churches struggle this time of year. Days are shorter, it gets dark earlier, people drag in at night. And listen, I get it. In my flesh, I get it. It's cold and dark. I'd rather be at home in the bed. In the flesh, right? Listen, we got to be real careful that all that stuff doesn't overtake us. And all the things that come with this season don't overtake. You know, people get more depressed this time of year than any other time of year. It's supposed to be a time of celebration and joy. And as the old songwriter or old singer used to sing, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. That's anything but the most wonderful time of the year for a lot of people, right? I mean, people, they're just doom and gloom, you know. And we as God people ought to be careful that we don't let that overtake us in our flesh. We got to be focused on the real reason for Christ, that Jesus has come, and it is cause to celebrate that the God of heaven humbled Himself like He did for us. Amen. What an exciting time. Wouldn't you have loved to have been one of those shepherds? Praise God.
I mean, you just think about, shepherds were poor, you know. And there they are out watching their flocks by night, you know. And maybe some of them are wondering, they're sitting there and they're considering, I mean, it's nighttime, they got the night shift, you know. And the family's at home in the bed, and they've got the night shift, and they're wondering how they're going to pay their bills, and they're wondering how their needs, because they're poor, you know, and they've got outstanding bills, and they've got problems in their family, and they've got stuff going on in their life. Maybe one of their children's sick, or their wife's sick, or they've got problems just like all of us. And yet here out of nowhere, here come the angels, amen, and they say, "Be not afraid, amen. I'm bringing you peace and good tidings, the greatest need you have, we're about to meet it right here. Praise God." And they go, and with haste, the Bible says, they lay their eyes on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in human flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, they laid their eyes on Him right there. What an amazing thing. The focus of Christmas is Christ. It's Him. It's all about Him and what He has done for us. I want to say about three things about the focus of Christmas real quick. This is just a devotional thought tonight. Okay? I'm not even preaching. Can y'all believe that? This is just a devotion. I want to say a word or two about the wonder of Christmas. Back in our chapter, in Matthew chapter 1, I hope you held your finger there. My main verse I want us to kind of dive into is verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son." She shall bring forth a son. I want us to think about the wonder of Christ. The wonder of Christ. You know, Him being born, this birth we're reading about right here, this is the, bar none, it's not even close, most famous birth to ever take place in this world. There's some famous people that have lived and died, but it's amazing how even when there's a very well-known person, we often know very little about their birth. All right? I mean, it takes a real hardcore fan of somebody to know about their birth. I mean, we know about their accomplishments in their life, but we often don't know a whole lot about their birth, right? It's almost just kind of an afterthought. And it takes the real hardcore people to really dig into their birth and know. I mean, it takes the real hardcore Elvis fan, you know, to travel to Tupelo to see the birthplace of Elvis, you know. I mean, it's common to us because it's just here. But I mean, you know, the average person who just knows who Elvis is, they don't care he was born in Tupelo, Mississippi. I mean, you think about the great conquerors and the Napoleons and things like that. Listen, we know about their accomplishments. We don't know about their birth. But here we have a man who is so special that even his birth is a big deal. And this is by bar none the most famous birth to ever take place in this world. In fact, our calendars, the timeline of human history hinges and is based on this birth, right? This event. Which is always comical to me how the liberals try to deny that it even took place, you know. And yet all of humanity is based on this event. B.C. means before Christ. They're changing that now. They're changing it to BCE, the before the common era. But listen, since the beginning of, you know, time, or that timeline anyways, it's been BC, before Christ. BC and AD. AD is a Latin term, anno domini. It means in the year of our Lord. And so it all hinges on this. And the birth of Jesus Christ divides all of this world's time and history. You know, the world fills Christmas with many things, but without Jesus, there would be no Christmas. None at all. And I know there's a lot of people, I was thinking about this today, there, you know, I know there's some of the reason they don't celebrate Christmas because, you know, it's Catholic origin and pagan, and I get all that. I know that's it. But listen to me, without Christ, even the Catholics wouldn't have a Christmas, amen? Even they wouldn't have it without Him. It's all about Him. Now, there is much wonder that surrounds His birth. I mean, over 2,000 years have passed. And we're still talking about this birth of this baby. I mean, you think about all the babies that's been born since then. And this is the one that we're still talking about. Now, the devil, world leaders, they've tried to do away with it, yet we still preach it. We still celebrate it. And they try to pretend like he was a normal man. Right? Well, you don't know anything about the birth of anybody else that's ever claimed to be the Christ. But we do know about the birth of him. Isn't that right? I remember Thomas Irvin. We all know Brother Thomas, Sister Kristen Irvin. And I remember we were talking one time, and this was way back before they went to Ghana. And, of course, the church they're out of down in Florida, they're big on street preaching. They do a lot of street preaching and all. And he told a story one time about how they were downtown in, I think they were in Orlando, Florida, if I'm not mistaken. They were downtown. They were preaching on that street corner they're always on. And there was a bunch of their church people just kind of lying in the street, you know, and they had scripture signs and passing out tracts. And it was like a Friday night, so a bunch of people are walking the streets and all. They got all those bars and clubs down there, you know, and they're down there street preaching in the middle of all that. And they said that this guy, and it must have been his girlfriend or something, you know, they were coming down through there, and they're just kind of walking through this, like, sea of church people, you know, and they're offering them a track as they're going through, and, you know, they're looking. And Brother Thomas said, as he's walking down through, Brother Thomas said he was at the end of the sidewalk looking back this way, watching that guy just kind of walk towards him. And as he was walking by, you know, he could see the guy's face. He was looking, you know, and they're preaching and everything. And he said, just as he got to Brother Thomas, he was standing looking, he said he someone offered him a track. He looked back and just kind of under his breath to himself, he made a statement. He said this. He said, man, he said, 2,000 years and they're still doing this. And he said, about that time, as he said that, he looked up and there stood Brother Thomas, you know. And Brother Thomas said he heard him say that, and he looked up and he stood, and Brother Thomas' response was, yep, and we're going to keep doing it. Amen. But that is amazing. 2,000 years, we're still preaching the same message, still saying the same things. And then they think this was just a normal man, no different from any other man, right? Amen. I mean, think about the wonder of Christ. I want you to think about this too. Say a word or two about not just the wonder of Christ, but the word for Christ. This is what I mean. Look back in our verse 21. It says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name Jesus is a great name. As a matter of fact, he said in Acts 4 that there's no salvation in any other. Because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Salvation is in that name. The name of Jesus Christ. And the name Jesus, it's a great name. And without going into all the translations and the Greek word for it and all that stuff, just know this. Let me first tell you this. Did you know that the name Joshua in the Old Testament is the same as Jesus in the New Testament? Did you know that? And the name literally means this. If you study it out, this is what you'll find. His name literally means Jehovah saved. Jehovah saved. And it's amazing that so many curse the name of Jesus, and yet it's the greatest name given for man. If you ever notice that world leaders, even our current president, after they get done giving an address, they will make this, they still make this statement. They will say, and God bless America. They'll say that. And a lot of people, I just watched the other day, Argentina elected a new very liberty-minded president. I mean, he's like an extremist on the liberty-minded thing, and he's shutting down all these government, organizations and stuff, and it's very interesting to me anyways. And I was watching where he was being sworn in as the next Argentinian president. And even he, in their swearing in Argentina, talks about how, you know, they use the name of God. They talk about God. You know, by the gospel and the power of God, I'll uphold the Constitution of Argentina, all these things that they go through and they're swearing in. And it's amazing because the world will throw around the name of God. Right? But you would be hard-pressed to ever find a world leader use the name Jesus. They'll never use the name Jesus. As a matter of fact, you read Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2 is written to world leaders, judges and kings of the earth and all that. And it's written to, and one of the commands to world leaders is to kiss the Son lest He be angry in that chapter. That kiss is an embrace. It's the same as us like shaking hands. Acknowledgement, you know. And world leaders today, they will kiss the Father, so to speak. But He's not as interested in them kissing as He is the Son. Because as Jesus said, we found out in John 5, that unless you will acknowledge Him, you don't even acknowledge the Father. Right? And I tell you why. It's because there's something in that name. And because they don't really embrace God, they won't embrace Jesus. And see, it's easy to say God bless America because that can be any God. That can mean whatever. That can mean any God to whoever wants it to mean, you know, whatever. It don't matter. But they will not say Jesus. And I'll tell you why. There's power in that name. Jehovah saved. Last of all, let me say a word or two about the wonder of Christ, the word for Christ, but then the work of Christ. It says in our verse that He shall save His people from their sins. The main work of Jesus Christ was that of Savior from sin. From sin. See, the meaning of His name, Jesus, means Savior. Savior. He was named for His work. You know, most will not appreciate His work. I mean, even the people of His day didn't appreciate His work. He came to save them from their sins, but yet the people of His day, those Jews, they wanted deliverance, but they wanted deliverance from Roman tyranny. They wanted to be delivered from their problems and their circumstances. And things hadn't changed today. People, I mean, the flesh looks to Jesus for what they can get out of Him and being delivered from all their problems and issues in life. But listen, the Jews and man now, they're not interested in deliverance from sin, which is in itself the worst tyranny. They thought they were in bad shape with the Romans ruling them. They didn't realize they were in worse shape with their sin ruling them. Now today, a lot of people are interested in Him as a healer of an illness or as the great physician, of course, and a savior from problems and a broken marriage and broken home and from addictions and all the consequences of their sin and their poor choices. They want that kind of savior, but not so much interested in Him as a savior from their sins, right? But the greatest work that Christ can ever do for you is save you from your sins. Now, you may have many needs, but none are as great as having your sins forgiven. And that's the main work of Christ. And that's the main reason He came to this world and humbled Himself like He did. You know, if He had not come to remove our sins, there would be no Christmas at all. Amen. And that's what it's all about. That is the focus of it all, of Christmas, is Christ. And I know you know that. But we have to be reminded and stirred of these things. This is, listen, when we look at it in that light, it is the most wonderful time of the year, so to speak. And I know, you know, we don't have to just celebrate His birth this time of year, but I say this, I am thankful that we do set a time to celebrate His birth. I mean, you could preach this stuff any time of the year, right? But if we don't stay focused on the right thing, this isn't the most wonderful time of the year. This is a dreaded time of the year. But when we remember what it's all about anyways, oh man, what an exciting thing it is to think about Jesus, to worship Him, because it's all about Him. It's all about Him. And of course, you know, I know it was all about Calvary, but He'd never gone to Calvary if it hadn't first came. And I know we celebrate the resurrection the first day of the week like the church did in the book of Acts. That's why we meet together on Sunday. But listen, He'd have never resurrected if He'd have never gone to the cross. He'd never gone to the cross if He hadn't came. There's a lot of humility at Calvary, but boy, there's a lot of humility at the birth too. And what we've seen is how great a Savior we have. What a Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, I pray that You'd use it, Lord, to stir our hearts and Lord, I pray that we'd be stirred, Lord, unto revival, and Lord, we'd be stirred, Lord, into knowing and remembering, knowing that you are the focus of everything we do in life, not even just this time of year, but Lord, you are. Lord, we in you we have our being. Lord, without you we can do nothing. Lord, we're so thankful for all that has been wrought in Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to hide these things deep in our heart that we might not sin against you. I pray that you'd use them in our life. Help us, Lord, as we, Lord, go away from this place tonight, Lord, that we would go away, Lord, living for you, being what you would have us to be. And Lord, you'd stir love and affections for Christ in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless in the service this coming Lord's Day. You'd even begin now preparing our hearts and Lord, preparing those that will be here. We pray that you'd send in lost sinners. Help us, Lord, to be, Lord, doing your will in compelling them to come, Lord, that they might hear the gospel, hear the message that Jesus saves, and, Lord, they might be born again. Lord, I just pray you have your perfect will and way in our lives, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.